And welcome to the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard being joined by the Executive Director at Light of Life Rescue Mission, Jarell Gilliam. Good to see you again. You can see Jarell also via our video mix at kdkradio.com. It's a whole new world, Jarell. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, it is a new world, and thank you for having me, Larry. Always good to visit with you.
As you're well aware of, Second Avenue Commons reopened after the fire shut them down, and we're hoping that this week that provides some relief. So approximately how many people will they be able to handle that'll help keep people from living in the streets in some cases?
You know, there was some remodeling of what they, even in the programming that's there. And so I don't know all of the details. It was around 100 people that were coming off of the street there. They also have a plan for the county announced a plan for overflow, which starts in November 15th when the weather starts getting cold. And I know there's an additional, there's a plan to be able to cover 600 beds during that for emergency weather or bad weather from the November to March timeframe.
And what is our status right now with people without homes in town? We hear so much about it.
Yeah, well, we continue to have the same challenge that we do nationally. It's hard to have a hard scientific number. We use this point in time survey, which relies on workers going out and physically counting homeless, and you just can't do that. The national average is that the number of homeless is about three times the amount of the point in time survey. And so when you think about it, as I talk, Larry, a lot, homeless are hidden in plain sight. If you might walk by a college student and you would think, oh, he's a college student, he goes to CCA, so you don't know that he's homeless. Or a mother with children with a stroller, you walk by her late at night at Point Park, you think they're just out for a stroll, but really she's trying to find a place to stay. So it's hard to go around and count homeless because you just don't know. And so that would, because of that number, it's hard to know exactly how many are out there, but we know it's growing. We know the tents are growing. We're seeing those, and I am concerned that we, although well-intended, we can be creating a system that's actually encouraging growth in those areas instead of getting people out of homelessness.
How so? And as I mean, we've had this unusual stretch of really warm weather, but before you know it, we're going to get into the colder months, and that's going to make it all that more challenging. So back to your last point.
I'll say two things about that. One, Larry, is that traditionally Allegheny County has been below the national average in homelessness, and for decades it's been that way. And part of those reasons are because we have some excellent organizations. I like to put Light of Life as one of them, but Operation Safety Net and others that lead the nation, actually lead the world in intervening in people who are experiencing homelessness. But what began to happen was this idea of placing people in homes during, you know, placing people in shelters for the emergency shelter, where it was constant. Instead of it just being at certain temperatures, it began to be, it's going to be open from, you know, November 15th to March 15th. And we know what ended up happening right before all the tents started popping up a couple years ago is that there are people that chose it as a lifestyle. They moved out of situations. They might have been doubled up with someone. There might have been other places. But now it was like for 4 months, I have free rent, no utilities. I can get my meals. And people begin to choose it as a lifestyle. And although it sounds good, you end up making the problem worse. And we see this across the country. So I'm concerned. I'm excited that we have located additional beds. From what I'm hearing, it's going to be 600 beds for overflow. Light of Life has increased our capacity for overflow to assist. But in the end, where my question every time is, what happens when they end. And so the end of March 15th, Larry, we can have a interview scheduled now. It'll be first they'll demand to stay longer, and we'll extend it maybe 1 month. Then after that, it'll be, no, you have to move out April 16th. And then at that point, where are those 600 people going to go? Because we don't have housing for them right now. And where all the tents started was a couple of years ago, we got to that point, and then someone started passing out tents, and then we started getting encampments. So it's a short-term fix, but it's going to create a big problem in the spring unless we come up with some solutions.
Are you working with other officials, since you're so passionate about this, on maybe another plan? Because 600 people, yeah, that's a lot of people.
That's going to be a lot. That's right. Yes, there have been additional conversations. The county and the city has been creating forums for additional, to get feedback. And I'm always encouraging those dialogues. I want to be involved with more of those discussions. But essentially, Larry, in other cities, I just came back from Phoenix. I visited out in LA a few months ago. And cities where they incentivize people coming out of homelessness into stable housing, you are prioritized if you are committed to a plan to get out. In those cities, we see homelessness going down, stabilizing or going down. If people are choosing to stay on the street as a lifestyle, it's not an emergency situation, which is how Light of Life and other missions have been set up here in our city. It's called emergency shelter. So it's people that they had some kind of traumatic event, and now they find themselves homeless. We want to help them. We want them to know there's always a place. But when you start getting into subsidized housing, that's a whole different thing about giving a person a place to stay. And the way it is now, a person, from what I was hearing from a police officer, a person can abandon a tent, they can throw it out and take it away. If another person puts up another tent, if they get to them within 48 hours, they're allowed to tell them they have to move. But if they're there longer than 48 hours, then their understanding is that they're not allowed to ask them to move. Well, that's just a crazy system that's going to incentivize people pitching more and more tents. What we have to say is, look, we love you, but because we love you, living in a tent by the river is not good for you. It's not good for our community. It's not safe for you. It's not healthy for you. We need to find ways of rehabbing some of these blighted homes, apartment buildings, motels, and have a plan for you to get out of homelessness, not to stay in it, but to come out, or get mental health help or recovery help. And those are the kinds of programs that aren't always popular, but when you use them, they work.
Final question, Jarrell Williams, Executive Director of the Light of Life Rescue Mission. We heard about the governor's $600 million plan, 10 years to revitalize downtown Pittsburgh. Is any part of that plan been revealed to you that would help in this issue that you're dealing with every day?
No, not directly, but I have a lot of ideas.
All right. Well,
I have ideas where we could come together and we could make some a real impact. I think Allegheny County has the opportunity, because of all the assets and the people here, to set a national model of helping people get out of homelessness into affordable and safe housing. And we can do it here together, Larry.
Well, now is the time. We got to make sure you get in touch with the people that are part of this collective that has a vision for the next 10 years. Jarrell, appreciate the work you do every day. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. And hey, let's go Steelers.
All right. Yeah. Bye week 6-2. We got that going for us. All right. Jarrell Gilliam, again, Executive Director of the Light of Life Rescue Mission. They do really great work every day here. You're going to get a chance to win tickets to see The Red One. It's a big holiday blockbuster with The Rock that's going to open on the 15th nationwide, but we're going to let you see it sooner by listening to the Big K Morning Show. Also, right after the news at 8:30, what's being done to ensure a fraud-free election? And there's a lot of discussion around that. Meanwhile, what are people talking about otherwise?
Well, over 45 million people around the country are estimated to have cast early votes, Larry. 45 million. Wow.
That's, to me, remarkable that it's that many this soon. People are anxious. And I think a lot of the politicians are wondering, you know, since the last polls have this as a dead heat in Pennsylvania and basically across the country, we'll see if that's accurate or not. Polls are fraught with, you know, a margin of error that's sometimes larger than the margin of error they say it is.
Well, they missed the last presidential election badly.
Yes, they did.
There are good reasons, I think, for that happening. First and foremost is the people that they are hearing from who are responding are the willing.
Right.
They're talking to the people who are willing. And so you have a, you don't have a cross section. You have partial cross section of the voting public on that. And people are getting more and more difficult to reach.
A lot of people do not want to share their thoughts with anybody.
I don't want to talk to a pollster or answer any online surveys. I just don't.
I heard Colin Dunlap talking about getting text now. Hey, we see you haven't voted yet.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's none of your business. You hit stop. You know what? I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote in person, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote. And why am I getting all these texts? And I keep hitting stop, and they keep coming from.
Oh, yeah.
How?
I wound up getting my ballot in the mail, and within 48 hours of receiving the ballot, I was already getting texts. Don't forget to cast your ballot. It's like, you got to be kidding.
And, you know, we got some feedback from our Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, that I thought I'd share. One of our steady listeners, Ed, he wants to know, are there any guidelines or rules for these political ads that we're hearing? And
boy, this is one that I hate to bring this up, but we're required. You know,
we cannot edit or judge what we have to air.
What they send us.
Correct. And
it can be a pile of manure.
And
we have to run it.
They could say anything.
Yep.
And they are allowed and permitted to do that. Unlike a company, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, would be under their scrutiny for claims that they make about products or services they have.
Yeah, they're could be legally liable, you know, for making false claims or false representations in a regular commercial. But when you're talking about the politics here, whether it's the candidates, the campaigns, or the super PACs that are buying these, I mean, some of the things are
most of it's out and out BS. Let's just call it what it is.
Right, my friend, you're absolutely right.
And people have to know that they can say anything about anybody. They can steal pictures, videos, sound from anybody and use it without compensation or permission. They just can do whatever the hell they want to do and have been doing and dragging us all down this road for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I know that. I can't remember who it. I think it was Colin. Colin Dunlap was talking about. He's just done with the,
right. Well, he
listening
was
to the commercial. It shuts him off. You know, doesn't listen to it anymore
during his show.
And that's what I do when I'm, you know, getting ready for the newscast. I've got the TV on. Commercial break comes on. I just kind of mute the speaker so I can concentrate without the distractions.
This just in: both candidates apparently are from another planet, not the same planet. But another planet, you know, they can say anything they want.
That's right.
What was interesting about Colin yesterday is he was talking about this, and while he was talking about it, he got another text, you know, during the conversation, and then he read that right on the air.
Wow.
So stop texting us. We don't want to hear from, we want to hear from our audience, but we don't want to hear from any of the political advocates texting us. Please stop robo texting. I hit stop all the time, but
I think I must have blocked at least 24 of these texts.
How'd they get
over
my
the last month or so? Yeah.
Hey, 6 days and counting until the presidential election next Tuesday, and voter integrity, a very important subject, and we're going to start checking in with CBS.
With Election Day drawing near, election officials are working to debunk false claims, calling into question the integrity of the process and the results. That comes as former President Trump and the Republican National Committee are suing some Democratic officials, alleging problems with the process. CBS's Skylar Henry looks at how election officials are trying to combat misinformation and show voters the upcoming election is legitimate.
As we inch closer to Election Day, officials and lawmakers are working to ensure the integrity of the voting process.
More confidence leads to greater participation, which is a good thing for our country.
In dozens of previous cases, courts have found no evidence of widespread voter fraud. That includes claims about improper registration, non-citizens' participation, and the voting systems themselves.
How is this process, I guess, safe, for a lack of a better word?
Every election jurisdiction, every county in the country has very clear rules about how ballots are handled.
Chris Mann with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says as early voting expands across the country, poll workers are able to focus on other potential issues.
It does a lot to help them, give them more time to deal with any problems, whether that's a power outage at a polling place, misinformation about voting procedures.
And that misinformation is, in part, leading to an uptick in threats and abuse to more than 10,000 local election officials nationwide, according to the Brennan Center for Justice.
It really, I think, has come as a shock to a lot of local election officials, especially, you know, in non-battleground states, these areas that they've become the focus of this kind of attention.
Officials are stressing that people with questions about the process should go to vote.gov and get information about voting in their jurisdictions from legitimate sources before casting their ballot. Skyler Henry, CBS News, Washington.
And we are joined by Norm Eisen, who is the founder of Democracy Defenders, talking about this very issue of protecting fair elections. Norm, welcome to KDKA.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
We have a history at this radio station, and the first scheduled program were the presidential returns of 1920. Come a long way since, or have we? I think the integrity of the election is more in the spotlight this year than ever. So what protections are in place as you work, as I understand, a nonpartisan effort to just ensure that everybody's vote counts once?
Larry, everyone in the state, all your listeners, can be confident that their vote can be safely cast and freely and fairly counted. We have strong state laws guaranteeing that the balloting will represent the will of the voters, that the freedom to choose our elected leaders that defines us as Americans, that fundamental freedom on November 5th that all of us are going to be exercising with the eyes of the nation upon us, that works. And it's backed up not only by laws that protect that, but also by our state and local election officials, the folks who administer these elections. They're experienced, they're tough. They went through a lot in the stress of 2020 and other contests, and they'll make sure the voting works. And then around the country, you have the United States Department of Justice, you have U.S. attorneys, you have federal law enforcement. If anybody does anything wrong, they have eyes on it, and they'll make sure the system works. So there are multiple layers, belt and suspenders, to make sure every voter go out, cast your ballot. It's safe. Your vote will count, and it could make all the difference. We had elections in 2022 where the outcomes were decided by a little over 500 votes. So everyone should vote with confidence.
And I know that a lot of people are aware, I think 54 million people have already voted in the country, which is actually a big number. And there has never been, I don't think, more scrutiny leading into this election about voter integrity and election integrity in and of itself. So that said, again, you feel confident. Does it surprise you that Pennsylvania is literally the keystone in this election?
It doesn't surprise me. Pennsylvania is the Keystone State in its motto, and in the blue wall, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. So you were the most likely tipping point state, the state most likely to decide the election going into the contest. And it really imposes an incredible, an honorable, patriotic duty, Larry, on every Pennsylvanian, whoever you support. And this is not only true of the presidential, up and down the ballot. Get out there and make your voice heard. It could affect the course of American history, particularly with the race so tight. Folks who are listening to us right now, if all of them were to get out there and express their preferences, that could make the difference in the presidential election, the Senate election, and many more. And I hope every single listener will do that. This is your chance, all of our chances, to make a momentous impact on our country and its future.
Norm Eisen, founder of Democracy Defenders. You can go to democracydefenders.org for more details of the work you do. Norm, thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
TV anchor woman, of course, Marty Griffin's wife. And Christine, along with Ken Rice and I and Diane Hupp, the president of Children's Hospital, spent time yesterday getting ready for this year's 71st annual telethon, which started right here on KDKA so many years ago. And one of the takeaways, and we'll talk to Christine about this, Aaron, was to be at Children's Hospital. You know, we talk about Children's Hospital. I think everybody understands what a treasure it is to have such a place in the region for kids. But then when you're there and you see the day-to-day operations, even for an hour, and the families that are, you know, we were on the sixth floor and we saw so many people come and go, and the kids and grandparents, and, you know, your just heart goes out to these kids and their families that are dealing with issues that would have them at the hospital.
It's like a feeling you kind of wish you could bottle up and carry with you to remind you there's things bigger than yourself happening.
Right. While people are anxious about the election, for instance, mm-hmm. and the anxiety and divisiveness that it has created, and all the things that people complain about on a daily basis. But when you're there, none of that matters.
Right. Hearing a kid ring the bell.
Health of a child matters. And I know being at the Steelers game Monday night, for instance, there's a young man who was dealing with cancer for 6 years. And he finally was able to ring the bell. And NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was at the game. And they surprised this young man. I'm guessing he was like 12 years old with a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Wow.
On the sidelines, they surprised him and his family. And so those wow. are the kind of things that you want to gravitate to when you're feeling, you know, the gravity of all this divisiveness, is to know on a daily basis that most people are good, most people are doing the right things, and in particular at Children's Hospital, just to be there for an hour, you walk away feeling so much different and so appreciative of the work that the medical staff and everybody, administrative staff, and the people are so kind to these kids and families. It's
right.
truly a treasure in this region.
It is.
So that's coming up in December. December 19th is when we'll have the telethon on KDK TV. We'll be participating here on KDK Radio as we have since the very beginning. And people around the country used to wonder, and I talked to former host who sat in this very air chair, Jack Bogut, about this, because he was there when this thing really took off, and people around the country would call and they'd be like, the outpouring of generosity from your region to help Children's Hospital is, how do you guys do this? And Jack would tell them, we don't do this. The people of this area do it. And it's been recognized around the country.
I'm excited to be here for that.
Yeah.
And
this will be
witness.
Your first one with us.
Yes, I'm excited.
All right, I want to give away a pair of tickets to see this new, it's a holiday movie. It's an action comedy starring The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and they got a bunch of other stars in this movie. And you're going to see it before anyone else at the AMC Waterfront Theater on November 12th. The movie doesn't open nationwide until the 15th. 412-922-1020. We'll take caller number 8. 412-922-1020.